I'm Shahid Hamid, and I want to invite you to a very special 8-hour Memorial Day Soul and Rhythm and Blues experience right here on KBOO 90.7 FM from 12 o'clock noon to 8 p.m. with JJ leading us off from 12 noon to 2 o'clock, followed by Sequina Wright from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m., followed by yours truly, Shahid, from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m., and Reggae Bob taking us home from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m., from the old to the new, just for you, a very special Memorial Day Soul and Rhythm and Blues experience. Monday, May the 26th, 12 noon to 8 p.m., right here on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM, and online, www.kboo.fm radio.
Welcome to Sprouts, radio from the grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a national audience, produced at a different location every week. I'm Maeve Conran at KGNU in Boulder and Denver, Colorado. Today on Sprouts, we hear the story of Los Ses of Boulder.
I remember being afraid. It's one of the times in my life that I've been afraid.
A radio documentary produced by KGNU's Irene Rodriguez. 40 years ago, two car bombs exploded in Boulder, Colorado, killing six University of Colorado Chicano student activists. Mystery still surrounds the case, and no one has ever been indicted. Their deaths impacted the Chicano civil rights movement in Colorado and around the country. This is their story.
The year was 1974. Lynyrd Skynyrd, Elton John, and the Jackson 5 were in the charts. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The Godfather 2 were drawing crowds at the movie theaters. The protests against Vietnam continued, Nixon was busted, Watergate exposed, and he resigned as president later that year. In Colorado, the political climate was just as explosive. Civil rights, the boycott of Coors Beer, police brutality, and bilingual education were just some of the issues. Chicano civil rights leaders were working to capture the growing sense of consciousness around Mexican Americans. The Chicano movement looked to Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta in the fields, Rodolfo Gonzalez and Bert Corona in the cities, and on campuses around the country, and in Boulder, Colorado, the United Mexican American Students, or UMAS, worked for the rights of Chicano students. Deborah Espinosa is the director of the Historical Museum in Pueblo, Colorado. In 1974, she was a student at CU Boulder and a member of UMAS.
By the time we got there, certainly parity was an issue, increasing enrollment for Chicano students, bringing them up to speed so that they could succeed in the university. But there was all of the migrant issues, the boycotts, the anti-war, bilingual education, police brutality. And then there were many of the local issues, running people for candidates or recalling, whatever the case may be. There were campus issues. And many students became involved with that because parity and growing the enrollment was always foremost. If we went home on vacation, we were talking to other students to come to school. The atmosphere was like any big university. You got there in the morning and you left late at night sometimes. But the Chicanos at that time, we numbered in the hundreds, and so that we could, we sort of ruled. You could go to the student center and there'd be mariachis. There might be wonderful music from Colombia. We had our own festivals. We had our own dances. We had our own film festivals. We had our own newspaper office. We had our own Mecha office where we hung out and where we would organize and talk and just be together.
Financial aid scandals also permeated the campus. Student groups accused CU administration of purging some financial aid records. Others said surveillance of activists on campus by unknown sources was routine. Students were demanding timely distribution of financial aid, which had been delayed for weeks, forcing some students to live in their cars and others to drop out of school due to lack of funds. Juan Espinosa, now married to Deborah, is the night editor at the Pueblo Chieftain newspaper. He was also a student at CU Boulder in 1974 and a member of UMAS.
That kind of came to a simmering standoff. And in the spring of the year, we found out that the people that ran the UMAS EOP program during that time when there was a financial aid crisis had been spending money on what things that we thought were luxuries. You know, renting a bus and taking 80 students up to a ski trip to Durango, for example. Things like that. And so we became more and more angry at the people running the program, and so we decided that we needed to, that it was our program, we were going to fire them. And the only way we could think of firing them was to take over their building.
With the takeover of the building, the students were sending a clear message to university officials, and this acted as a catalyst for what followed. Deborah Espinosa, along with her baby, was also part of the takeover of TB1.
My daughter Catalina was the youngest occupant. I had had a baby the year before, so she was with us. I wasn't one of the original occupants. Now, you have to understand that no one fathomed that we would be in there that long. The idea, we thought that, you know, they'd be in and out within maybe 24 hours or a couple of days. The idea to take over TB1, ended up with being planned in our living room. We lived in student housing. And I remember a pre-discussion before this meeting that who would be there, who could be trusted. I remember a discussion about who should come, who should be there, and who shouldn't, because there were some people that were peripheral, there were some people that weren't trusted.
But on May 27th, 1974, something happened that shook the student activist involved in the sit-in, permanently altering the Chicano rights movement at CU and around the country.
I was awakened by my husband after midnight, and I was told to get the baby and to leave because there had been an explosion and they had found Neva's ID.
In Chautauqua Park in Boulder on May 27, 1974, just after dark, a bomb exploded in a car, killing all three passengers.
There was a lot of confusion, a lot of talk. By the time I got out, really it was by the time I got back to our house or our apartment, the sun was coming up. I remember being afraid. It's one of the times in my life that I've been afraid, and because we couldn't imagine who, what, when, how, put all the pieces together, and we were shocked. We knew people were dead, and we were trying to figure out who was in the car.
Neva Romero, 21, was an early childhood education major and UMAS leader, and a CU student senator. Attorney Reyes Martinez, 26, was a member of CU alumni. He worked out of his car, traveling the state representing the poor. Una Jacola, 24, was his girlfriend. She worked with youth in Denver. All three died instantly in the explosion. Juan Espinosa was in the occupied CU building at the time of the explosion.
We heard what it sounded like was somebody slamming a big door. Wham! Like a big door. And we heard a lot of sirens and more sirens and ambulances. And then from where we were at, we could see the flashing lights going up towards the Chautauqua Park. So we knew there was something happening big time. About 4 o'clock in the morning, two people came to TB1, two friends of ours, other Chicano UMAS members, and said, well, they were Neva's roommates, Mike and Irene. They came and says, hey, we've been held at gunpoint. They've been searching our house. They think Neva died in a car bombing up on Chautauqua. They found her driver's license, and they came to our house looking for information, and they had us on the floor at gunpoint, and they ransacked our house. And when they left, they said they were coming here next, and so we just came to warn you, you guys got to leave, TB1. And that's how we found out that it was, more details, right?
Chicano leaders from around the state came to see you when they heard the news of the bombing.
The next day, we had a big gathering. People came from all over the state to talk about what had happened. And all the people in the movement, Jose, I don't know if you know names, but, Jose Calderon and people like that. And Freddy Granado came that night. Freddy Granado made a speech. Freddy Granado declared war against the United States. He said Chicano blood had been spilled, and his job was to retaliate, and he had a quote from Che that I'll try to paraphrase, but it's like, if I lead, follow, if I betray you, kill me, if I am assassinated, avenge me. And he says, these people were assassinated, and we have to avenge them. And then the next night, he died.
48 hours after the first car bomb at Chautauqua, another car exploded on 28th Street in Boulder in the Burger King parking lot. This time, three more people died and one was severely injured. Freddy Granado, who had given the impassioned speech against the U.S. government the night before, was one of the three killed in the second blast. Granado was a 32-year-old Chicano activist from Texas. He was a former UMAS president and had been a La Raza Unida candidate for CU regent. He had also published El Escritor del Pueblo, a Denver community newspaper. Francisco Doherty was 22 and had organized voters in Texas. Heriberto Terán was a 24-year-old poet. Antonio Alcantar was severely injured in the blast, but survived his injuries. He still lives in Colorado. Juan Espinosa.
We had gotten a police scanner so we could listen to the police radio. So we were listening to the police traffic when the second explosion took place. And the second explosion, one of the things they were talking about was they said that a blonde person with shoulder-length hair may have tossed a package into the car just before it exploded. That was one of the things that we heard on police radio that night. I've never seen it since. I've never seen it in any documents.
So it was never investigated?
I don't know. I don't know if it was or not. And the reason is that it's hard to find out anything about the investigation is that a family member sent a Freedom of Information request to the FBI in the 80s or 90s asking for their file on the Los Seis of Boulder. I think it was like a two-paragraph letter. I read it. I don't think I have a copy of it, but I read it. And the letter essentially said that in 1978, I believe, in Kansas City, Kansas, the FBI office there burned, and all the records pertaining to the Los Seis del Boulder had been destroyed. And so there are no files. It just seems to me like, even if the files had been destroyed, wouldn't you try to reconstruct them? Wouldn't you just ask agents to, it's like 4 years later and say, look, guys, you got any notes? We got to put this file back together. And I would bet if they had other key cases, they would do that, right?
The Chicano activists and family members have always been suspicious of the investigation. Juan Espinosa said the initial crime scene investigation was sloppy and people were allowed access to the area and took potential pieces of evidence.
This is a piece of chrome off of Reyes Martinez's car, an old 88. And you can see it got blown off there and it's all mangled. But I just wanted to pass it around. Maybe Reyes will touch us. After they cleared the crime scene, there was still pieces of human flesh, like in the grass and hanging in the trees. And people went with plastic bags and collected the pieces of flesh and took them and buried them.
The FBI and police considered the six who were killed to be terrorists, something disputed to this day by family members of the victims and fellow Chicano activists who had worked with the victims. Brad Leach was the Boulder County Sheriff in May of 1974. He says he doesn't really remember all the details of the car bombings.
What I recall was there was a group of folks that were people that were doing that, and I think some of them ended up being killed themselves as a result of the bombs going off prematurely or during the deployment of them. I don't remember names, and I don't remember. One was at Chautauqua, I know, and I think another one was at a fast food restaurant off of 28th Street. And as I remember, two or more people at each site were killed. But I don't remember what the cause was or why without going back and doing some research.
The official police statement said the victims blew themselves up with bombs that exploded prematurely. No official explanation was ever provided by police. A federal grand jury was convened, but its findings were not made public and nobody was ever indicted.
You're listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of national interest. I'm Maeve Conran with producer Irene Rodriguez at KGNU Community Radio in Boulder and Denver, Colorado. We're hearing about Los Ses of Boulder, the story of six Chicano University of Colorado student activists. In May 1974, they were killed in two car bombs. No one has ever been indicted for their deaths.
After the bombing, the Chicano movement was never the same. Juan Espinosa.
I think the whole thing, and we've sensed it from the very beginning, is that the result of the bombings was not an investigation of the bombings themselves. It was the investigation of the people that knew the people in the bombings. We became the focus of the investigation. They subpoenaed us to a grand jury to ask us about our relationship with these people, and not anything about who might have done it or who might have had a motive or what. Do we know anything about any suspects? I mean, nobody ever asked those kinds of questions. It was always assuming that they had accidentally blown themselves away, and because we were their friends, we may have had prior knowledge. And that, you know, they would tell us things like, if that's murder, and you have prior knowledge of a murder, and you know, you could go to prison for life and things like that. And they were, you know, they subpoenaed us to I was subpoenaed to testify before a grand jury.
In fact, many of the UMass student activists at CU were subpoenaed, including Juan Espinosa. He says this was how the police turned the investigation onto the other Chicano activists, instead of finding out who killed Los Ses.
The reason they subpoenaed me, because after the TB1, we settled with the university immediately. They came and they called and said, look, we're ready to end the occupation. What do you guys want? And the one thing that was smart is we negotiated amnesty. They said that we would not be prosecuted for any state or federal crimes.
What would those be?
Well, there was the Campus Disorder Act that was enacted in 1968. I don't remember what the consequences, but it was pretty serious. And it was trying to stop the anti-war movement demonstrations on college campuses. That was the main focus of that.
Former Denver Mayor Federico Pena and Denver civil rights attorney Walter Goresh helped quash Juan Espinosa's grand jury subpoena. Nearly all the subpoenas were quashed.
With one exception, Veronica Vigil was the first person that did go test for before the grand jury. She refused to testify, and they put her in jail for 18 months for refusing to test. Was it contempt of grand jury? So she served 18 months for not talking to a grand jury. And the reason we weren't talking to the grand jury is because we were convinced that the investigation was of the Chicano movement and not of the crimes of Los Ses. The bombing of Los Ses.
At the time of the two car bombs, there was little media attention beyond repeating the official statements. There was certainly no discussion on the work and legacy of the six who were killed. Reyes Martinez, who was killed in the first car bomb on May 27th, was an attorney who worked for Chicano rights. Kiko Martinez had been active in the Chicano movement for decades and remembers his brother Reyes fondly. Since the two were close in age, he remembered him as his best friend and pointed out the impact of the loss of his brother's talents.
Well, you know, we came from a family, an old family from northern New Mexico and southern Colorado. Folks came up, grandparents came to Colorado, moved from the villages of northern New Mexico to work in the railroad up here. And my parents were members of big families. There were eight children in our family. We had two older daughters, and then Reyes and I were next to each other. We were right in the middle. I was child number four. He was child number five. We were born 15 months apart, so we went through a lot of the same experiences at the same time, and we were extremely close.
At the time he was killed, Reyes Martinez was working as an attorney helping other Chicanos. He had attended law school at CU Boulder.
He was a good law student there. He was involved with the Chicano law students, which was a very strong and very service-oriented organization. They had, during that time, and this is, you know, part of what was happening in a lot of law schools, the students would go out and they would start centros legales in communities that had been underrepresented, and, you know, there was an effort and a receptivity to that type of activity. So they had, when he was there, they had centros legales in Longmont, and they had them in Greeley, they had them in Brighton, Fort Lupton, and they had them, I think, in Boulder also for the students. So they were quite active. So that's how Reyes ended up in Boulder. When Reyes finished law school, he was awarded a Reginald Heber Smith Fellowship, which were quite competitive, but they were community lawyer fellowships to take young lawyers, put them with legal services organizations in communities. So Reyes then ended up working for the Colorado Rural Legal Services in Alamosa. Reyes then developed he was quite competent as an attorney, and in his short career as an attorney, he was able to make quite an impact in a lot of communities. A lot of people really liked Reyes. A lot of people remembered him and knew him.
Kiko Martinez was out of the country in May 1974. He had been living as a fugitive in Mexico, having been charged with mailing package bombs to a Denver police officer, a school board member, and a motorcycle shop. Charges which were eventually dropped. He said the funeral of his brother Reyes showed the community support for his work as an attorney.
When Reyes got buried, it's probably the largest funeral that ever happened in Alamosa. And then they carried him from the church, from the Catholic church, all the way to the cemetery on their shoulders. And that's a distance of probably 1.25 miles, maybe 1.5 miles. There was a big, heavy police presence at the services. One thing is that they thought I might come back and that they would be able to catch me. And there were helicopters overhead. And they're just people have a lot of personal stories of what happened during the funeral and the events surrounding it.
There was a huge outpouring of emotion for Los Seis in the days and weeks following the car bombs. On June 4th, 1974, several hundred people attended a memorial service in Boulder. While the death of Los Seis deeply affected the friends of Los Seis and their fellow Chicano activists, their families felt it even more so. Guillermo Doherty was the younger brother of Francisco Doherty, who was killed in the second bomb.
I was working, and they called me. The police.
And can you tell me what they said and a little bit more about that day?
It's been a long time. I mean, I don't want to go back.
Francisco had been a medic in Vietnam and hoped to be a doctor. His brother had done field work to pay for his trip to Boulder to study medicine. Francisco had arrived just days before he was killed.
We wanted to graduate, you know, go to college and, you know, make something out of ourselves. Field workers.
Clara Romero is a sister of Neva Romero, the 21-year-old CU student killed in the first car bomb at Chautauqua.
Neva was into helping anyone underprivileged because she had a brain. She was really a smart girl. She was a great speaker. She would even get up in full auditoriums and speak to people on, you know, how we can help these people. To this day, you know, my voice is kind of shaky, and that's just usually the way it gets when I'm on that subject. And my brother and my sister, they're pretty much the same way. My sister has not even been to Boulder since then, and she just lives in Thornton. My parents have gone on to be with the Lord, so at least they're happily reunited with Neva up there. But there's the people here on Earth that are the ones that still grieve. Do you know there was at least a dozen Nevas named after her?
While the memory of Los Seis is still very much alive and still painful for the family and friends left behind, it is largely forgotten by society as a whole, and particularly by the Boulder community, which 37 years ago was shaken by two car bombs. This collective amnesia outrages those who witnessed the 1974 events. Deborah Espinosa.
This was a time of tremendous political change, and to take on the issues in those days required a tremendous amount of dedication and commitment. It really taught me an awful lot about what that means. I believe that Boulder should not cover it up. I believe they have, or they see it as, oh, those Chicanos, it's not important, it has nothing to do with us. It's not true. That's part of their city's history. It's part of that campus. And that campus is their lifeblood. When six students die in an explosion, it should matter to every single resident.
Freddy Trujillo was a Chicano activist and UMAS member in May of 1974. He says the six who were killed in the two car bombs were invaluable members of the Chicano movement.
These were all really good people, and they were warriors. They were warriors. We were at war. The United States of America was fighting the Chicano movement. That's the way we looked at it. We were at war, and we lost six people during that time.
There's a small road marker commemorating Los Seis a mile west of the city. A mural commemorating Los Seis stood outside the UMAS offices on the CU Boulder campus. But since renovations to the building, it has been in the garage of Juan Espinosa. A memorial stone for Reyes Martinez was dedicated in a park named in his honor in his hometown of Alamosa, Colorado. While mystery still surrounds the events of May 1974 and the deaths of the six young activists in Boulder, Los Seis have become martyrs for the Chicano movement and are still remembered and honored by those who continue to struggle for human rights.
That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to Los Seis of Boulder, a radio documentary produced by Irene Rodriguez at KGNU Community Radio in Boulder and Denver, Colorado. Music you heard included Sweet Home Alabama by Leonard Skinnerd and selections from the Putumayo Presents Mexico CD. The Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers around the country, bringing you local radio productions of national interest. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. Thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. This week's producer was Irene Rodriguez at KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran in Boulder, Colorado.
Thank you, baby. Just wanna take a little time out to you. Thank you, baby.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Oh, wait. Thank you.
Thank you for contributing to KBOO's membership drive. It was a success. and we couldn't have done it without you.
Thank you for your post, for your like, for your click. Thank you for your love, for your care, for your kind.
And you are tuned to a very grateful KBOO Portland. Thanks a lot for your great support during our membership drive, and we encourage you to just go to kboo.fm and click where it says donate today. If you didn't become a member during the membership drive, you want to do that and follow up and give us some support. Coming right up, it's Air Cascadia. Chris Andre is waiting in the wings to bring you headlines, interviews, and commentary. 10:15 flashpoints with Michio Kaku today, a big long speech given last winter by him. At 11 o'clock, we've got the KBOO Food Show featuring Margaret Gray, author of Labor and the Locavore, and some other issues. And we're going to take you to Air Cascadia right now.
Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, May 21st, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web, and many, many thanks to